I have some good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Well, if you've got a Bible, turn to it to Psalm 145, the book of Psalms 145. Today we're continuing on with the series called The Jesus Prayer, which is my way of talking about the Lord's Prayer. And some people that grew up Catholic call it the Our Father. It's a simple prayer. It wasn't meant to be complicated. And I believe when Jesus said, "In this manner pray ye," he wasn't just talking about the exact words, but this is the heart and the spirit with which we are to pray. And so in both Matthew and Luke, we have the Lord's Prayer written out for us. But it dawned on me a little while back that if Jesus was teaching his disciples who were from Galilee, and he was from Galilee, most likely when he originally prayed this, it would not have been in Greek, but it would have been in Aramaic. Talked about this language before. It's a close cousin to Hebrew. It's based on Hebrew. It's what we call a Semitic language. And it uses some of the same letters. But I've been working for the last few weeks on a new font that looks like a writing that was written just about the time of Jesus, by the way. If you're geeky like me and like that type of thing, they found it at the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's called the Targum of Job. It's a translation of the book of Job. And it's one of the oldest examples we have of scripture written out in hand in Aramaic, which was the language Jesus spoke. So can you read it? It starts from right to left. The part of the prayer today, it goes like this, and you can say it with me. I'll teach it to you. Tete. Oh, go ahead, say it. Tete. Malkutach. Yes, the end of it, you have to kind of clear your throat a little bit. That's a final cut. So what that means is tete means may it come. And Malkutach means your reign. And so we translate that, your kingdom come. But it's a little bit different than saying kingdom. Kingdom is not a wrong translation. But when I think of a kingdom, when you think of a kingdom, what do you think of? You think of a place or a nation or a realm over which a king can rule, and maybe several kings over a period of years can rule. Kingdoms stay put. The kings change. A reign is different. So notice the difference in the Aramaic word is malkut, which means not just the location of the king, but it's the reign of the king. So you could say during the years of the reign of King David. You follow me on this? So a reign isn't so much a place, but a reign is any place where and a time when that king is received and he's accepted. So how do we know that the reign of Jesus has come? How do we know that the reign of God has come? We know it in every single one of our lives. Whenever somebody steps up and says, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life. In my life, rule and reign. May it be done in me as it's done in heaven." This is really a three-part prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. Talked about that last week. Kadash Shemak, may be honored your name. That's the first prayer. The second one is, may come your kingdom. The third one is, may be done your will. But that's going to be next week. But all three of these have to do with things being on earth as they are in heaven. And so when we want to know more about what is this idea that Jesus is praying, what is he asking for? We have to go back to the Old Testament because that's where these words came about. Jesus, as he's praying for God's kingdom to come, all of these, by the way, are really end times prayers. I didn't know if you knew that. But may your kingdom come, may your will be done. Notice he's praying for something to happen that hasn't yet happened. He's praying for it to be so. He's looking forward to something. Lord, may you reign on earth just as you reign in heaven. May your will and your ways be accomplished on earth. And so in Psalm 145, the Bible says this. Would you read it with me? And it uses the word three times, and I'll show you where it is. But it says this. Will you read it with me? It says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All of your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you." And so he's listing and he's explaining what God's heart is like. He is a God that's full of compassion and love and goodness. And all of these things are wrapped up in the next part of the statement. It says, they tell of the glory of your kingdom. The word is malkut. You could say they tell of the glory of your reign. And speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And so listen to this. Just think what a subtle little difference it is. And it's not just technical. There's a part of when we think about the kingdom, how we think about it makes all the difference. You know, I'm so used to words like that because I grew up in church. Every once in a while, I don't realize when I'm speaking Christianese. Because I know what I mean when I say the kingdom of God. I had a new believer come up to me afterwards, just scratching his head because he was a military man. And he goes, what are you talking about? The kingdom of God? Where is that? And for him, it was a kind of a bizarre concept. I knew that. I thought this was about Christian faith and a walk with the Lord. I didn't know we were supposed to be a kingdom. Are we supposed to set up territory? Is there supposed to be a perimeter to this thing? And see, when we think about a kingdom, sometimes we think about a place or we think about a realm in which the king rules. But what his prayer was is, Lord, may your reign come. May you come and reign. So think about the difference of this phrase. When you think of the kingdom of heaven, sometimes for us, when we say kingdom of heaven, it's too easy for us to think of heaven where we're going to go when we die. That's the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's a far off place in our mind. Sometimes it's way up in the clouds. Sometimes it's abstract. And so it's away from this place. Doesn't engage this place. But now listen to this phrase. Instead of saying kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, say the reign of heaven. The reign of God. See, when God reigns, it's not just in a distant place. It's that his kingdom is from that place, but he reigns right here. He reigns in me. Anybody with me so far? Jesus is asking us to pray that God would reign on earth just as he reigns in heaven. This is the prayer of Jesus. And so this yesterday was 4th of July, Independence Day. It was our day to celebrate the history of our country. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the history is quite controversial now, and people are tearing down monuments all over, not only to people that fought for the South in the Civil War, but even people that fought for the North, like Grant, and people that were founding fathers. And I scratch my head about it. Sometimes I wonder, maybe there is a time to get rid of symbols that have things attached to them that don't represent what we're about. And the other part of me says, you know, If we get rid of our history, we'll never learn from it. And so all of those great leaders had something that they contributed and something that you study their life close enough, you'd say, you know what, we can learn from the things they did wrong too. You know, the same is true in Christian church history. I've done enough studying of it. All of my favorite church leaders and great preachers throughout the years, sooner or later I get to the part of their story and I said, I don't like that at all. I don't like the way they did that. I don't like that about them. There's no such thing as perfect people. And so we can learn from their mistakes. And just like we learned from the first president, George Washington, that he didn't do everything perfect. But I will say, one of the things that I appreciated about him was when they went to make him president. There were several things that he did that nobody had ever done before because he was the first one. He was setting precedent for being the United States president. And they said, Mr. Washington, what do you want us to call you? Should we call you Your Highness? Should we call you Your Excellency, the President? And he said, just call me Mr. President. That's the title. Because we've already got a king. We just got rid of the earthly king. But the only king we have in this country is the one that reigns from heaven. He dedicated in his speech to Congress. He said, the almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect. He said, that's the one that's going to look after these United States. And so we don't need another king, but just King Jesus in our life. Anybody say amen? We're talking today about what it means to welcome his reign in our life. And one of the first things the Bible talks about over and over, and I don't bring this up because it's my broken record, it just is a word that comes up a lot. It's a word that gets taken by all sorts of different political movements today, but in the Bible, it just means to make the world right. It's just justice. And one of the things that happens when Jesus comes to rule and reign in our life is he makes things right. And so God's reign is not about a place, but it's about his people. And what's wonderful about that, when you have that understanding of God's reign, that works in every culture. That works in every generation. That works in every language. Doesn't matter where you live or what you're like, the reign and the rule of God can work in your life even if you live in a place that doesn't allow the worship of God. How many are with me? Because he can rule in me. In Psalm chapter 45, which is one of these great kingly psalms, it was really written to dedicate an earthly king, but the earthly kings of Israel were God's representatives, so it kind of gets mixed in. And it says this, "Your throne, O God," do I have it up there? "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice or uprightness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Your love, you love righteousness and you hate wickedness." Do you hear what God's kingdom looks like? What his reign looks like? He loves righteousness and he hates wickedness. Well, who doesn't, right? There are some that wish it was the other way around. You know, I have a lot of history today for some reason. It's just the illustrations that kept coming up. Because when we think about how many times throughout world history, people have tried and failed to bring the kingdom of God into this world. And what they thought was a fulfillment of this Jesus prayer. And one of them is, I don't know if you realize, but long before the Soviet Union or Russia was an atheist country, they were a very, very Christian country. Did you know that at one point in history, the Russian Orthodox Church was the last sole survivor as a kingdom that was representing the kingdom of God? And so what happened to them? What happened to it was what happened with a lot of those failed experiments. For about 300 years, first Rome had fallen, and then Constantinople was the head of the Orthodox Church. And then Russia found themselves being the last bastion of the Orthodox Christianity. And the only ones left to protect Jerusalem against the Turks. And so for about 300 years, there was a series of about 12 wars between the Russians and the Turks. One would win, and then the other would win, and it went back and forth. Thousands and thousands of people died. Amongst those 12 wars, there was one called the Crimean War, which was the very first one that was written about and that they had pictures of and photography of it. It's where we get the Charge of the Light Brigade and Florence Nightingale. And it was one that really started to let people know that war was a terrible thing. And they were doing it all in the name of protecting this plot of land, which was the Holy Land. And it finally culminated in a war that we call it World War I. They just called it the war to end all wars. But by the time that war was over, the Russian people had been so beaten down after 300 years and so tired of conflict and losing all of their young ones that it ended in a revolution that changed their country forever. They got rid of the czars, which were in charge of the country. They became the very first communist nation in the world, and they also got rid of something else. They got rid of all religion. It's the very first country on the face of the planet to ever adopt atheism as their official stance. And I asked myself, why is that? How do you go from being the protector of Christianity to the very first atheist country? And it's because they didn't understand what it meant to invite the reign of God in. Friends, there are still some people that think bringing the kingdom of God means we need to take over all the government agencies and force everybody somehow to believe just like we do. I always want to ask the question, great, which denomination? Because even if it becomes Christian like it was before, we don't always agree about what flavor of Christianity it's supposed to be. How many are with me so far? And so then another war would break out just like it did in Europe for all of those ages. And when will we ever learn that God's reign can happen no matter who's in charge of the government? No matter, and here's some good news hopefully, no matter who gets elected president next time, God can rule and reign. It's not just about one person. And by the way, he can rule and reign as he's done throughout my life, whether one side wins or whether another side reigns, because he rules through his people. Anybody say amen? Say amen. And something happens when God reigns, is the world becomes a better place. So let's go back to the Psalms, can we? This is a psalm from late in the Old Testament period where they begin to talk about the reign of God as not being attached to a place. Because listen, after they had been conquered and they lost the land, all of those psalms that talked about how important it was to live in Israel and how important it was for the king to reign on David's throne, that all had to change. And they begin to understand God's kingdom as being bigger than just one place. Psalm 103 says this. Would you read it with me? It says, "With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Listen to how his kingdom happens. When we finally just say, "Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I know what I want to do, and I know in my selfish motivations how I want to take it." But what would happen if we all just stopped and said, like what it used to say on those little bracelets people used to wear, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What if we all just stopped for a second and said, "Lord, what would it look like if your love and your ways took over in this world? If your truth and your justice ruled and reigned?" You know, we have an example right in our neck of the woods up in Seattle, which I used to live up near, and beautiful city. I know exactly where all of this took place, but it began with some protests and some people bringing out the outcry just as happened in St. Helens about police brutality, and then it moved to reforming this and that, and then all sorts of different agendas came in. And before we knew it, what happened? 6 city blocks were taken over and barricaded off, and they first called it CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, and then they changed it because that was a name in some movie somewhere. They changed it to CHOP, the Capitol Hill Organized Protest. Well, I don't know how organized it was, but it was a protest. The mayor herself says, "You know, it's going to be like the Summer of Love." They said, "It's just going to be a big block party, and nothing bad is going to happen, and everybody's going to sing Kumbaya, and finally the world will change." And what happened is there was a lot of protest. There were a lot of people there that may have been there for good reasons, but there was something else that happened too. As soon as you throw out all law, as soon as you throw out any police or any kind of rule or organization or anybody being charged, violence also broke out as well. And before they were done, there were a couple of teenagers, by the way, who were African American. And it just broke my heart. Finally, the police went back in there and I said, "What was accomplished after all of that? What was really changed?" And friends, I'm still convinced. I do believe that there's change that needs to happen in our country. Always. And you come back 10 years from now, I'm going to be saying the same thing. Because I think it's always our job for our society to look at itself and say, "Is there things that we still need to get better at?" And almost always the answer is yes. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Change us. Let judgment begin with the house of God, Peter says. But as we change, that real life, that real kingdom, is not going to come because we cast out all rule and because we get rid of God like they did in the Soviet Union. It's not going to be that we get rid of all authority in our life as they tried to do in Seattle. It's because we embrace his authority. We get rid of the things in us that aren't right, but we say, "Lord God, may your ways come and rule and reign. May it be done on earth just like it is in heaven." And if there's ways that need to be righteous, need to be made righteous, it's because the King of righteousness has come to rule and reign in our hearts. How many are with me so far? You know, our country began with an Independence Day, but I'm here today to declare my utter dependence on King Jesus. Because the more I accept him, the more I have found things get made right that I didn't even know were wrong. Anybody with me? Say amen. The second thing is this, the reign of freedom. Well, it's July 5th. How can I not talk about freedom? Am I right? When this king comes, he doesn't subjugate. He doesn't put us under control, but he sets us free. And so I talked a little bit about Israel's history. And you have to, friends, if you know this about the Bible, from beginning to end, it's the story of the kingdom of God. How it formed first under a king named David, and then how it transitioned, and then they were conquered, and then it came back again. During the years of the prophetic book of Daniel, there was another great war that broke out with the Seleucids that had taken over, the Greeks. And they finally conquered them again, and they rose up and they fought and they had their own war of independence. It's where we get the holiday of Hanukkah. And there was a guy named Judah the Hammer, Judah the Maccabee. And he fought back, not Maccabee, but Maccabees. And he fought back against the Greeks and finally won their independence. For about 100 years, the Jews finally had their kingdom again. They had autonomy. They called it the Hasmonean dynasty. And so this prophecy came about even in a season when there was turmoil and the kingdom had come and gone into several different hands. And so Daniel looks forward to this time that finally God is going to restore their kingdom. And he says this, would you read it with me? Then the reign, the rulership, and the greatness of the realms under all heaven will be given to the faithful of the Most High. His reign will be an everlasting reign, and all rulers will serve and obey him. There are a lot of people, when they read those passages in Daniel, they think that it's only about the future. It's only about the end times. But long before it was about that, it wasn't just a spiritual or a metaphorical kingdom, but it was God actually restoring the earthly kingdom to Israel. For a short time, they got to see their actual earthly kingdom restored. So what was the problem? Nothing on earth lasts forever. For about 100 years it lasted, and then they started fighting with each other. And they were appointing their own high priests and appointing their own king of the Jews. And finally they got mad at each other and had an argument, and an old civil dispute broke out. And so they decided to ask the Romans to come and weigh in. The Romans were the up-and-coming world power. And they said, would you come and help us decide who our new high priest is? They gave up their rulership to invite the Romans in. And well, you know the story if you've read the New Testament, don't you? Inviting the Romans in was like inviting a 300-pound gorilla to dinner. And he never left. When Jesus came along, the Jews, once again, were a people that were under somebody else and they weren't ruling themselves. Some during Jesus' time thought that returning that kingdom meant that he was going to rise up just like Judah the Hammer and form an army and fight back and win back the kingdom. But Jesus says, my kingdom is not from this world. By the way, some people hear that and they think he's saying that it's not has anything to do with this world. He didn't say it's not of this world. He says it's not from here. It's from above. It's a different kind of kingdom. And this kingdom isn't just about one plot of land. This kingdom is going to change the entire world. Anybody with me so far? Every earthly kingdom is temporary. It's going to last only for a short time. But the kingdom of God lasts throughout its people, throughout all generations, throughout all of us. That's why we're still here today. And that's why even if our kids and our grandkids follow after Jesus, they'll be the bringers of God's reign into the world. And so when he reigns, he doesn't just set you and me free, but he sets everybody free. When the right king is on the throne, everybody in the kingdom benefits from it. Have you noticed that? And so we pray, Lord Jesus, may you come and sit on the throne. How many wish we could vote for Jesus for president next time? Jesus, may you just rule and reign. But we do vote for that, friends. Every day when you and I make a decision, are we going to do it our way or are we going to do it God's way? We're saying, Lord God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your reign to come. This is what we proclaim. This is the good news, by the way, that we have to share with people, is that God is on his throne. And if we would just listen to him and give him our hearts, things would go better not only in our lives, but in the whole world. How many believe the world would be a better place if more and more people would just say yes to Jesus and no to selfishness? Say yes to the plan of the Lord. In Isaiah 52, which is written after their exile, one of my favorite passages, and by the way, it's the one that I get the phrase I tell you every Sunday morning when I start off. Isaiah 52 says this. Would you say this with me? He says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, what? Your God reigns. We used to sing a song like that at East Hill when I was growing up in the 70s. You remember that, Bob and Pam? I don't know why I keep looking at you, because you're just right there in the second row. But we used to sing the song, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them. And I used to just think to myself as a kid, why are we singing about somebody's beautiful feet? What a strange thought and a great word picture that the most disgusting part of us, for a lot of us, is the beautiful thing when we bring the good news. When we proclaim to people that God reigns. Why is that good news? Because when God reigns, everybody's life gets better. Everybody. When God reigns, nobody is left out. When God reigns, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, both men and women matter, everybody matters. When God reigns, his love and his truth make everybody's life better. It's not something that we're ashamed of, friends. God isn't sending us out to conquer our neighbors. He's sending us out to tell them the good news, to bring good news, be good news bearers, that everywhere we go, people would know who he is. Because it's the 5th of July, I just kept thinking about this song. I've been singing it. You could ask my family. I sing every once in a while around my house. But let freedom ring. And I just remembered the end of this great speech back in 1962, when Martin Luther King stood at the Lincoln Memorial and talked about his vision. This is what the Old Testament prophets were about, by the way. They would just stand and speak to people and put the vision of God in their hearts and their minds. Give them something to look forward to, something to pray for. And Jesus is prophesying like this. He says, this is the kind of thing that I want you to pray for. I want you to pray for God's reign to come into the world. Are you with me? Just watch the words of this and just remember some of the greatest words ever spoken.
This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, my country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state, in every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
You know, he was a preacher, could you tell? When he passed away, he was 39 years old. Still amazes me. It was 4 days before I was born when he died. And his vision was just for a world that had freedom for everybody. There were still laws in the South, not just people who were prejudiced, but even laws that were prejudiced, where people couldn't drink from the same drinking fountain or swim in the same swimming pool or eat in the same restaurant. And so there were still things that needed to change. So we're always asking ourselves, what needs to change? I love how he ends that, free at last, free at last. I think I'm going to be singing that song when the coronavirus is over, don't you? Man, I cannot wait to just get out and not be wearing a mask everywhere and have all of our freedoms back and have the freedom to just assemble and be together and enjoy one another's fellowship. It's coming, friends. It's coming. And so the last part of that accepting of his reign and his kingdom is that we receive joy in our life. I have to end it with joy this morning. Who could use a little joy just about now? It started to get to me this last week. I usually do a pretty good job with my emotions, but I told Molly, I said, I'm just getting a little stir crazy. This is starting to get to me. Okay, maybe hopefully I'll get over it, but all right. Even this, to not do the 4th of July picnic for the first time in 25 years was really hard for me. I didn't realize how much that's just a part of my annual calendar. That's just a part of my, it's like skipping Christmas, skipping the potluck. And in the midst of it all, just remembering that when I pray for God's kingdom to come, when I allow him to rule and reign, he can reign in my life even when I'm shut in. That wherever I go, wherever I travel, he can rule. And it's not just about me hoping someday that when I pass away that I'm going to go be with him in heaven. By the way, I have total confidence about that. So don't hear me say it's not going to happen. I'm so looking forward to being reunited with my family. And I so, with all of my heart, put my trust in the promise of eternal life. But Jesus didn't say, pray that you can escape this rotten place and go someplace else. He said, don't pray for you to get out of earth and so that you can go to heaven. And that heaven is somewhere out there. He says, pray like this. He said, may your kingdom come on earth just as it is in heaven. So long before I go to that place, I'm praying, Lord God, just as you rule and reign in heaven, may you rule in this place. It's not just about going somewhere else, but about bringing elsewhere here. How do we do that? With what authority do we do that? We do that because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the fact that he's washed us clean. The end of the book of Revelation, which is like Daniel, another one of those books written to explain the whole history and the transition of once again looking forward to an earthly kingdom, which finally, by the time of the writing of the book of Revelation, the physical kingdom of Israel had been completely destroyed. The temple was gone. There was never again going to be a high priest. Never again were there going to be Pharisees and Sadducees. And people were looking around and saying, what now? Brand new believers, the early church was saying, what do we do now? You remember all of them, they believed in the Messiah, but most of them started off as Jewish people. They're saying, what do we do now? In Revelation chapter 5 says this. It says, with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Listen to that promise. Because God reigns, God's reign isn't just about a location or one nation. It works in every culture, every language and tribe. It works for everybody. It works for you. Say, Lord God, may you come in my heart. May you make a difference in my life. So what difference does it make Jesus rules and reigns in my life? Am I supposed to start up a fight? Are we supposed to form a militia? You know, do something. If you really get bored, look up on YouTube people fighting with the Costco employees about wearing their mask. It's quite entertaining. My mom told me about it. I said, wow, you watch these people. Some people are hostile. And if it's you, I apologize. I'm not making fun of you. But some people have opinions about it. Have you noticed? Some people are really hostile about it one way or another. And once again, I think we've got to be able to walk that fine line of wisdom and balance. But watch these people screaming and yelling at Costco employees and saying, is that really the hill I want to die on? I think to myself, I've only got so many words in this life to spend leading people to Jesus and shining the light bright. Do I really want to use up all of my words on fighting the mask? This one lady was at a Whole Foods screaming, irate, screaming at them. I have a medical problem. I have a problem breathing. I can't get enough air. I said, for somebody with a breathing problem, she can sure put out a lot of wind. I said, her lungs seem fine to me, but I don't know. I'm no doctor. I'm just saying, wear the mask, don't wear the mask. But do it for right reasons. And let's shine the light bright. Anybody say amen? God reigns whenever we receive him and live our lives accordingly. That's what it looks like. Romans 14, 17 says this. Would you read this last verse with me? It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. Stop. Masking or not masking. But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Isn't Romans wise? I love it. Lord, I just want to see your kingdom rule and reign. I don't know if this happened at your house last night, but I think we were invaded by a foreign country. I noticed there wasn't a main fireworks show, and so everybody went to the Indian reservation, evidently, and got the big ones, because all around our house, did you see it, Joe? It was, you know, I was thinking of the rocket's red glare. I think they've invaded our neighborhood. Just loud, people just having fun. I waited until the last minute, and I went. All they had was these two little stupid Oregon fireworks. I paid a lot of money for them, too. They were terrible. I mean, this one, all that was left was one for $9.99. It was called the Rocket Man. I don't know if you got this one. And I kid you not, right on the front of it is a picture of the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. I don't know who thought that was funny or who got away. Evidently, Nadine does. It was called the Rocket Man. And once you lit it off, it was the lamest little excuse. It was about this tall, and it lasted for about 10 seconds. And I thought, the joke was on me. I wasn't even paying attention to what the purpose of this thing was. Didn't matter to me. All my neighbors had good ones. But it was just hanging out with my friends, and some of my neighbors came by. And I just remembered this. Lord, if I lose everything else during this time, don't let me lose my joy. Don't let me lose my joy. Don't let me lose your peace. It says righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember what the Word of God says? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. May you come and just rule. Are you getting anxious? Are you getting bored? Are you getting nervous? Let him come and rule in your heart. Let him come and chase all of that stuff away, because his Holy Spirit really makes a difference. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, today I just lift up anybody today that's just been really affected emotionally. Lord, I know that as much as the virus is a serious problem, as much as the economy is a serious problem, Lord, so too is the mental health of people all over the place. People struggling right now with depression and suicidal thoughts, anxiety, relationships that are tense. And Lord, I just pray right now for your Holy Spirit to come and rule and reign. May you drive out that anger in Jesus' name. Drive out the anxiety. Come, Lord Jesus, and rule in peace. Rule in joy. Help us to rediscover the joy of simple things. Help us to recapture, Lord, the pleasure of just being quiet for a little while, of not being so busy. Lord, you really have, in the midst of all the tragedy, you've given us a great gift, an opportunity to experience a forced change. And Lord, I just pray that we would stop and listen to what it is that you want to do in us in this time. And friends, can I ask this? If there's even one person here or listening online, if you haven't yet invited the King to come in and rule in your heart, if you haven't allowed the Lord to come into your heart, remember, his reign happens when each individual says, Lord, be the Lord of my life. So if that's you today and you want to invite him in, just say this prayer with me today and open up your heart to him. Would you pray with me? Say this, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be the Lord of my life. Be the King on the throne. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in me. And I give you all of the glory. I give you all of the praise today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I love all of you so much. I can't wait to see everybody again live and in person. And I just hope you have a wonderful day. Go in the grace of the Lord today.